Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Roleplay Bounce Power Week. Nine? Uh-huh. This is 11. This is 11. Yeah. Yep. This is 11. This is 11. I knew it was an odd number. I just didn't know which one. And there's a lot of odd numbers. So sometimes you just got to guess and see if you get it right. We're actually going to change focus. This will not be a roleplay show. We're just going to talk about Pokemon Go for 4 hours and the adventures that we've had. So, Jesse Cox, can you please start with your favorite adventure with Pokemon Go?
Oh, man. A few nights ago, while driving home from the office, it was really, really late. And I decided that I would stop by this shopping center that's nearby where I have a gym. Like, it's, we've literally taken over the shopping center. Uh-huh. So I roll up in there in my car, and I see five other cars. It's like 2:30 in the morning. Five other cars, all my headlights on, just sitting there in the parking lot. And I'm like, y'all motherfuckers are some giant nerds. And then I realize who I am. And I'm like, oh, all right. So I sat there battling other dudes at like 2:30 in the morning in a parking lot. And it was the saddest thing I've ever been a part of. And I've never been more happy to keep that gym. I was like, see you later, fools. And like drove off.
Now, talk to me about the critical decision where you chose incorrectly, Jesse Cox, when you chose your team.
Well, you see, I'm not an asshole, so I chose blue.
Okay. All right. With that said, Strippin, can you please mount your defense towards a member of the blue team here in the call right now?
Mount my defense? What, you want me to defend him?
Yeah, defend me, Sam. Thank you.
No, no, your defense as being... Look, I'm not a fucking lawyer, right? I don't know the legal speak.
Proud person who admits he made a mistake.
Mount your defense. We're doing the whole ace attorney thing here. You're supposed to point and yell objection, and then we do the thing.
Oh, that's... Okay, so you got to... Sam, let's rewind it. Nothing... Can you yell objection, please, Sam?
No. Objection!
No, there we go.
All right. Now, why was Jesse's choice incorrect?
Yeah, why?
It's red or dead, motherfucker.
There you go. There you go. That's all. That's all I got to say.
That's
Pocket.
It.
Pocket. What color are you, Pocket?
See, I'm a glutton for punishment, so I went yellow.
Oh, my fucking
God. Of course you did. Nice.
You're fucking dead to everyone.
Everyone here is red and blue, and it is so... Like, the majority of people here are red, actually. So blue is actually an underdog as well, but there's more blue.
No. Blue is like 70%
of America. Here in Austin... Oh, really? In Austin, there's just red. Red have taken, like, every gym I've seen.
See, in San Antonio, there's yellow everywhere. At least out by me, there's tons of yellow.
Yo, I'm moving to San Antonio.
Dude, we should trade houses for a week.
LA is zero yellow. It's all red and blue.
It's so bad.
Well, yeah.
It's so bad in LA that I was with a couple of reds last night and some blues, and we renamed ourselves Team Purple. And we just drove around destroying yellow gyms and putting them evenly because everyone hates yellow so much.
There you go.
My favorite story so far that I have is that I went and took a blue gym and I didn't realize, like, if you don't take it right away, like as soon as you defeat
someone
the trainer,
can pop
they,
in.
Can take,
yeah.
they can ninja it. So he ninja'd it back with like a low level and I destroyed it again and then took it. And I had defeated an 850 Vaporeon with a 670 Jolteon. And, and then took it over. And then when he came back and took it the final time, his Vaporeon was over 1,000. Like, he had went and trained it out.
I saw someone in San Antonio with a 1,700 on a gym. And I was just like, well, I'm never taking that. Like, that guy's way too invested. I'm not going to fucking drive around and sit as much as he has.
Did Jared get out there? Is he out there?
Maybe.
One of our friends literally is just like, hey, I've got like 2,000 level Pokemon.
Here's why, though. What? He works at Riot, and for some reason...
Oh, yeah, Riot, yeah.
Riot buildings have 5 Pokestops and 2 gyms in their building.
Yeah.
So all the Riot employees just sit there with lures on the Pokestops just fucking getting swole.
Yeah.
And they don't even have to leave work. And I'm like, huh? Shitty.
That's kind of shitty.
See, that's the thing is, like, Austin is so spread out. There's not really a good, like, location where you can go and get tons of stops and whatnot because it's really insanely spread out.
I saw Gunrun, who has this absurd streaming setup so that he was streaming first-person Pokemon Go walking around downtown San Francisco with a backpack strapped. It was crazy. Anyways, I like saw how many fucking spots are in San Fran, and it made me hate San Antonio because they have like in downtown San Fran. I think I saw like 70 Pokestops from just where he was in like a 10 block radius, which is fucking absurd.
It's there's a lot of areas like that here as well. Where
I went to Santa Monica Pier yesterday, and it is fucking insane.
Really?
There is like 8 Pokestops on top of each other with 2 gyms, God. And they're all lured, and there was thousands of people playing the game. I bumped into like 3 YouTubers. Everyone was there. It was crazy.
I saw your tweet about that. Yeah, that's nuts.
Also, I got so horrifically sunburned, and I'm in agony.
Oh, well, that was a
side note.
That's your own fault.
I underestimated the god of Team Red, and he hurt me a lot.
That's your own fault. The weirdest encounter I've had is being in St. Louis near the airport because I was getting ready to fly out from St. Louis. And we had about an hour to kill because the flight was delayed. So we drove around, and for whatever reason, in St. Louis, I don't know if this is national, churches are stops, are Pokestops, and some are gyms. But like in the Bible Belt, there's churches every block. So we drove down a street and hit like 20 Pokestops at all these different churches. And at like one of the final ones, which was a gym, there was someone that was attacking it. And we didn't see him in a car or anything. And so we pulled up, turned the lights off, and just sat there. And then a truck that was literally in the parking lot right across from us, like 10 feet, turns on his lights in front of us and turns on his like bright beams and then flashes us a bunch and then drives off. And we're like, what the fuck was that?
Stopped by a cop last night.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of those stories too.
I was out and there was a guy. It's a good story. There's a guy. He's blue. He's called Ernesto the Besto. And
that's a blue right there.
Yeah, you right there. Recognize him. He's higher level than Jared. He's level 21.
Holy shit.
He has 11 blue gyms in our area. And literally last night, he was driving around his car and he would just pull up at people playing Pokemon and go, yo, I'm Ernesto the Besto. You might have heard of me. I have all the gyms around here. That was his pitch. Like, obviously, he doesn't have a job. He's just rolling around being like, yo, I'm Ernesto the Besto. You may have heard of me. I own that gym over there.
Is his car blue?
I don't know. It was dark. It was like 2 in the morning. This guy drives off. I fucking crush his gym because I'm like, fuck Ernesto the best though, all right? Small X takes the gym.
Ernesto's driving back.
As we're leaving, like a police SUV pulls up and then over the speaker, he's like, are you guys playing Pokemon Go? And we're like, kind of like give him the thumbs up and he's like, Team Blue. And I'm just like, no!
What was it? The police on our side! That's all.
That's crazy.
Good.
That's crazy. Adam, you guys don't have it yet in Canada, correct? You were in Seattle last night. Did you try to get it on the US? Does that work or does it go by SIM cards?
There's ways to get it, but I was in Seattle and I was saying right before we started the call, what's super weird to me about this is that like it makes real life feel like have you ever gone to like a big con like PAX or whatever, and you're just walking around downtown Seattle, you're like, oh, that's a nerd, those are nerds. It's like everyone just turned into a nerd overnight.
It's crazy, dude. It's weird as
shit. And like literally every person that I saw walking around looking at their phone, I'm like, lean over. Yep, that's Pokemon Go. Random people clustered in the middle of like a walkway, Pokemon. It's surreal how quickly that happened, and now it's just like there are people outside. Yep, they're playing Pokemon.
It's a phenomenon. It's crazy.
It really is. I mean, it's a big enough thing that their stock jumped up 25% this morning, which is fucking absurd. Apparently, I forget the name of the game that the team made before Pokemon that this is based like in. Entrance or I forget
Ingress,
what it's
Ingress something like
Ingress. Ingress yeah Ingress
Ingress
yeah. So apparently in Ingress towards the end of it or towards like a 6 months in among around all of the towers the equivalents of gyms, people were actually like creating traps and barricades, like physical obstructions to get to where the gym is at so that you couldn't actually access this shit. So I really wonder when we're going to hit that point where Pokemon Go becomes like really dangerous to play and people can no longer walk around and just claim shit.
That was that news story, right?
They got mugged and stuff.
I heard about
news story about a bunch of guys and they set up at like this rural Pokestop and they dropped lures. And then as kids approached it, they held them up at gunpoint and stole their phones.
Jesus
Christ. But the guys were too dumb to move. So after like two and a half hours of luring the same Pokestop, the police just showed up and arrested them. They were
they're basically Team Rocket.
They were Team Rocket. Team Rocket. That's literally Team Rocket. Arrested
them and got like all of the phones back because they just didn't move from the spot.
That's literally Team Rocket. Well,
Team Rocket.
That's this week's Poke Minute or something like that. I don't know. That's not going to be. It probably will be a thing. But Adam, you were at a con this past weekend. How was the con?
It was.
What was it?
It's a little Seattle con called Go Play Northwest, and they've been doing it for, this was the 10th year, and I've been going for 9, I guess, and it was super fun. It was good. It's like a little like game con, mostly tabletop RPGs, and it's funny because, you know, a year or two ago, I would get super excited about it because I'd be like, cool, I can finally like go and spend a weekend just playing role-playing games all the time, and now I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to sign up for anything. I'm just going to hang out and drink and watch people play games because I got enough RPGs at home. But it's, I don't know, it's cool. Like, cons are all the same, big or small. You go because you want to see the people that you only see at cons.
Right.
So, yeah, it was nice. It was nice getting caught up.
Cool stuff. What else have you been up to besides the con life? That bunch sounds bad. Besides going to conventions.
Bunch of stuff that you know I can't talk about. So.
That's true. That's
pretty much just that.
That's true. You can't.
Yeah.
So we'll move on. Pocket, how you been? What you been up to?
Good. Conventions as well. Went to RTX. It was all right.
I know. I saw you there. It was all right.
I like it more than... Well, you saw me there for like an hour or something.
Yeah. And then I fucking peaced out of Austin because fuck your city so hard.
Why?
I hate driving in that city. I almost got smushed.
Oh, you don't like driving. Well, yeah. Well, it's not that bad.
It's pretty... When you get almost get smushed
with people who live in California here.
When you almost get smushed between an 18-wheeler and the side of the road, I'd say it's pretty bad. But let's continue on.
Maybe you're just a bad driver.
Because that's my fault that the 18-wheeler was going to slide.
I've been in your car for maybe 30 minutes total and had 3 near-death experiences.
Sam, you don't even know what you're talking about.
I don't know if it's just Texas in general.
You don't even know what you're talking about, Samuel. Please stop talking.
I remember people saying that they've been in your car and nearly gotten in an accident.
That's because this is the only thing they have against me, Pocket. So they try to hone it and focus in on it. But I'm better than them. All right.
I forgive you though, because we're Team Red. That's what we do.
That's true. Yeah, we're Team Red. Yeah. Red or dead. We almost died. We almost died, but we're still red. So there you go. What else besides cons, Pocket?
Nothing really.
Just living that.
Oh no! I've been working on cosplay. What am I talking about?
Oh shit! What are you cosplaying?
I'm entering the Twitch contest, and I'm going to be doing Pharah, Rain Dancer Pharah.
Okay.
All out.
That's like the tribal Pharah, right? The red and white one. That one's really colorful.
I'm doing the blue one. The blue and the white.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. There's two colors. Cool.
The beak on her chest, which is kind of awkward, and everyone keeps calling it a uniboob, and I'm just like, no.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's a lot of fun so far. I've been working with foam, which I've never really worked with before, so it's experience.
Do you just get like a foam block and then cut into that in the shape of whatever you're trying to
pretty
form?
Pretty much, and then you heat it up and you can kind of mold it around and whatnot, and it's pretty simple to use, actually.
Are you doing all this on stream?
I did some of it on stream, because you have to do a certain amount of hours on stream. But I'm doing a lot of it off stream because it's like to sort of get into it, you can't really like talk a lot. You just got to focus.
Mm.
So it's too difficult to try and entertain the stream and work on something that you're kind of new at.
Sure, sure. So that's going to be debuted at TwitchCon then, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, you got.
And then I'll wear it to BlizzCon.
You got what? 3 months? 2 months? 3 months, basically, because it's September 30th. So.
Yeah.
Don't fuck up.
We will judge you harshly.
So. We will judge you harshly.
It's okay. I'm hoping I do well. I picked a really difficult one.
Do you know who else is entering into the competition?
Oh, I have no idea. I know that you have to stream at least 15 hours of the costume and have it a lot of it or most of it done by.
Did she freeze or is she still thinking?
Oh, it's a very long thought.
I want to know when it has to be done, though.
The unfortunate part about this is that Pocket was the first in the call and should always be first in the call. So if she does indeed drop here, It's gonna fuck.
This is the point where she realized it was yesterday and just shut down.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Oh my god. I have to work on my costume.
It's gonna fuck everything up when she drops. So we'll see what happens.
At least the freeze frame was flattering. You gotta have that.
Oh yeah. Christ.
All right, Sam. What have you been up to?
Fucking Pokemon Go. I got burnt.
Oh my god.
I'm actually really looking forward to playing Necropolis. Oh no.
Her power went out. She just texted me.
I'm looking forward to playing Necropolis that comes out in the next couple of days.
So it comes out tonight. I actually have some codes for that if you guys want to play.
Sam, I love you, and I'm doing this for your own good. It's pronounced Necropolis. It's just putting that out there for you.
Necropolis?
Yeah.
I think it is Necropolis.
Wait, hold on, Sam. What's the name of the city that Superman is from?
Metropolis?
Metropolis? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. Metropolis. Yeah.
Oh, I appreciate it. Like, friends don't like friends say Necropolis. I appreciate that. Thank you.
You're welcome.
There you go.
Thank you.
Sam, did you get early access to that?
I didn't ask.
I have an extra code if you want to play when it releases tonight. Because it comes out tonight, right?
I thought it came out tomorrow.
Well, I mean, it comes out tonight at 12:01.
I thought there was an embargo tonight that was like you can't go past level 4.
Yeah, something like you could stream 4 hours of it. We'll look at the I'll read the Google Doc and maybe play some later tonight. Also, Adam, you're like a bunch of people. If I move this around, does this mess with any?
It's the Twitch emote version of me. You got a small, a medium, and a large.
Yep, there you go. Yep, Adam is the Twitch emote. Exactly. Exactly. Jesse Cox, did we already talk to you?
I ain't nothing new happening over here. I'm just playing video games.
You're doing that life at home. I just got back from all my trips, and now I'm doing that life at home for 2 months, and it feels great, dude. Oh, my God.
Man. Jesse's got CoxCon in a couple of weeks.
I do.
Is that stressful?
Not for me. It's already, everything's done. I'm just waiting for it to happen. That's called proper planning.
I'm not going to ask you how much, I'm going to start the story and then I'm not going to ask you what you do, but in RTX, I did the math with how many people actually showed up and a rough estimation of how much the prices cost because not everyone's going to buy a 3-day pass. Mm-hmm. Holy fucking shit. You're a smart person for making CoxCon.
Well,
I mean, that's, you don't get the numbers they do, but still, like...
Yeah, that's the dream. The dream is, like, to have a CoxCon where 5 years from now, it's a bajillion-dollar industry. But literally right now, with 1,500 people attending, and that's capacity. With 1,500 people attending, we are still just barely breaking even. That's how expensive cons are.
Yeah. I mean, last year, you like, barely broke even, right?
Last year, I was out of pocket. Like, last year... Well, the first year we had 1,000 people, and I spent, I think, like $3,000 out of pocket of myself in the end. So this year at 1,500, we just barely like are over.
Okay.
So one day, eventually, this might, but everything we do, all the money keeps going back into the con. So we're buying better equipment.
Mm.
And like last year, we bought a bunch of like crazy bean bags to have in like a like chill out room. So like we keep buying things and then storing it, and then
this might be a conversation for not on a stream, but are you always going to be in England?
This one will probably always be in England just because if you want to see me, I'll be at 12 jillion cons in the States.
Right.
Like I'll always be, so just go to a con and I'll be like, "Hey, I'm at PAX. Hi." And so it's much easier that way. I don't know having my own US con to be up in CoxCon. I just one day if I can have a con where it's like, Johnny Johnson, the newest big YouTube star's there, and he brings all the people, great. I'll be like, I don't even care if no one here knows who I am. This is perfect.
I mean that's what all the other cons basically do. So, you know,
yeah.
You gotta be about that life. Well, cool. Maybe I want to talk to you about stuff after this. So maybe I'll talk to you. We'll see what business Jesse is like. Cause I haven't interacted with business Jesse before. Maybe he's got different colored glasses. I don't know. Where the is Pocket? I can't kill. I don't know what to do.
Did someone say business, Jesse?
Isn't that
are those gunners? Are those gunners?
They are.
For all of today's high-speed business needs.
They're prescription gunners, too. Watch yourself.
Okay. Interesting. Is everything just kind of like a yellow tint right now?
It is. Yes. Everything is a yellow tint.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Where the fuck is Pocket?
Where'd she go?
Oh, she just typed in Skype. Join already. Stop typing in Skype. I wonder why the power might have gone out in Austin because it's too hot. They might have had like a transformer pop.
I had an email about this from Team Red headquarters. They're taking them all out.
Oh, okay. Is that what happened?
They cut the power. They can't charge their phones. Eventually, they just die out.
Gotcha. All right, here's what we're going to have to do. Adam, Strippin, and Jesse, turn your cams off.
Oh, she's back!
Now, Adam, turn it on.
Am I back?
You're back.
Strippin, turn it on.
Sorry.
And Jesse, turn it on. All right, welcome to Balance of Power. Everyone, let's start the show.
Good work, team. All right, well, let's begin, as we do, with the traditional rolling of the Destiny dice.
Oh, shit.
Set the stage.
Website, huh?
And from there, we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Well, is there a Roll 20 app for your actual computer?
I don't think so. Not on Windows 10. I don't know though.
It just popped up like, hey, you should use this, but I don't know if it's the real thing, right?
I don't know. Mm. Strippin', you want to roll next? Pocket's ruining the show and then roll double dark and she's fucking team yellow.
Wicked.
Uh-huh. Sam, what did you just do?
What is that?
Sam, you didn't do it.
Hang on. All right, let's do this.
Oh, okay. Ooh. 2-2.
Yeah.
I'll go next because I think Cox is still loading it.
Yeah, I'm loading in right now.
Please roll well.
Come on, dude.
Oh, that's not. Oh, shit. Reset it, Adam. I hit the wrong thing. I hit the wrong thing.
No, you gave it to me. It's mine now.
Fuck. I hit the wrong thing. Motherfucking piece of shit.
All right. There you go.
Okay. All right. Jesse Cox, it's up to you.
If you hadn't rolled back, he wouldn't have given it back.
Roll that destiny.
I was just going to give you shit for acting like you could see the future, Sam. But
there's balance. There's balance in the force.
Am I wound reset yet?
Balance in the force. Yeah. So. I think there's a bit of a time lapse between the last session and this one because Agent Theron had a criminal underworld to insert himself into. Because I think the last thing we saw you doing was recruiting your goons, right? That swoop gang to like
that's right.
Wreck things. So I think. Probably like an episode of Clone Wars, this would be the like we cut in on a kind of like galactic news kind of thing where you know it's like trouble on Terrace and the you know like the bit is about how the new Moff you know is it's like rising star or terrible mistake. And it shows like it goes back and forth showing scenes of like the Moff out in the upper city, like talking to people and like, you know, shaking hands and kissing babies, but then also like, you know, rebel graffiti everywhere. And maybe like a burning like Imperial vehicle. And the voiceover is talking about how things have been chaotic after the death of the previous Moff, and that there's speculation as to whether or not the Empire will be able to hold on to Terrace. I think that the Imperial Security Bureau managed to keep your names or faces off of the broadcast. Like, I don't think they were like, yeah, and the suspected rebel agents, whatever, because that would, you know, that would cause trouble for you. But we see you, and are you just like on a throne made out of bones? Like, where's Theron at? What have you been doing for the past couple of weeks with your new goons?
So in the mid city and the lower city, it's like Mad Max down there.
Yeah.
I have my it's like Thunderdome. The bar that we were at is now more like Thunderdome, and I'm like a less sexy Tina Turner. And I have like It is dark and seedy and nasty, and Theron now has his finely trimmed beard mustache combo is now just a mess, and he is in crazy, every post-apocalyptic movie, how there's always that bad guy who has way too many robes on, layers of like that now.
Right.
And he has just guy all these goons, and then just treasure. This entire place is filled with loot, things that they've stolen. And there's awful biker dudes with sexy alien ladies on their knee. Oh yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, it's that kind of stuff. And Aaron has had no contact with any of the other people. He's just off the grid. And everywhere the gang goes, they keep spraying in blood of people they kill, green skin.
Does your Swoop Gang Empire have a name? They call themselves.
Do they have a name?
What if they just roll and go Swoop Gang?
Swoop Swoop.
Swoop Swoop, motherfucker.
They're called the 8th Street Sixes. And they are, the 8th Street Sixes. And you don't mess with the Sixes.
Nice. Awesome. Okay. All right. So you've got this happening. And so when you are you intentionally cutting ties with the other two, with Lana and Belsa, or are you just whose choice was that's happening that way?
I think it's less in all intents and purposes, to everyone else, I've gone full Colonel Kurtz on this one. I'm just but I still have my communication thing. I just, when everyone calls or whatever, I just don't answer. And so I just, I'm like, this is the thing that I have to do. And I've literally just gone nuts, but not really. It's a calculated nuts.
Sure. Sure. All right. Well, so then Belsa and Lana, I love that you've abandoned them, and now these two, who one of them tried to kill the other very recently.
I know what I'm doing.
That's Mal. That's unknown information.
Right? That's true. Lana does not know about that.
She knows
that.
She was shot by someone. She had one guy left, and she wasn't shot. He was going to go down. She knows something. But she probably just, I'm just going to say Lana, is probably, if she's, healed now, or, she's at least mostly good now, then she probably, just so disappointed because she knows you guys are just such bad aim.
I guess we should since somebody actually survived that fight, I guess we should figure out how healed up you are.
Yeah.
Been a few weeks and we went back to the moss place, she's got the tank, right? So
that's right. The two of you were able to get back to the
We were escorted through the gates by the troops.
Yeah, so with the back to tank, your wounds are back, and you have one for each date. Wow, so you were in the back to tank for a long time. How many crits do you have?
How do you check that?
Did you take any critical hits last time?
I don't think she took any crits because we
dropped it.
Yeah. You finished the rock goal.
Adam, you just remember all the crits because I took about 9, I think.
Yeah, that's right.
Or it took 22 crits.
Yeah.
That's true. That's very true. Let me just double check. Because if you were knocked unconscious, if you lost all of your... Yeah, you're crippled, right? Remember you have an injured leg?
Yeah,
So
my leg or foot or something.
So every day you spend in the back to tank, you have a chance to recover that crippling injury. So let's see how long it takes for you to recover. So can you make a resilience check with a difficulty of 3?
Three purple?
Three purple.
Okay.
Okay, cool. So you're actually only in the tank for 24 hours. So that's good. So In that first 24 hours, Belsa, what are you doing? Right, we see Lana floating in the tank. The Moff is probably like just not, he's not having a good time, right? Because he demands to know where Theron is. He's obsessing over Theron's supposed to be in charge. This was his plan. Like, where is he? And it's not that he thinks the plan is failing. He's just feeling like he's flailing around a little bit, and he wants Theron to come back and save him, basically. Yeah. But all he's got is you and Lana. So
I think Balsa, she thrives off of order, and there is none right now.
Oh yeah, totally.
So I think literally what happens is that Booger's in the back to tank, and then Balsa kind of like just holds herself up in an office and just like drinks.
Mm-hmm.
Like at a desk. There's like fucking papers wiry everywhere where she's trying to like start reports, and then it's just giving up, and like her hair is like wiry. She's like an unkept, and she's like up 24 hours, just like head in hand.
Yeah. And I think when we see this like obviously stressed out Balsa, there we get those like flashes, the like forced visions of like Imperial statues being knocked over, and like the Moff's palace being stormed by a crowd. We see the blue like New Republic flag flying over the palace. Like, yeah, just signs that all this chaos is gonna lead to the Republic showing up. And then there's just going to be more chaos as they like crack down on the loyal people of the Empire. The future is looking kind of bleak.
You like look down at her comms device, and she's got like 17 attempted calls to Theron or something, and they've all been like busy tone.
Right, your text message is just uncomfortably one-sided.
Yeah,
Theron. Theron, buddy, what's up? What are you doing?
Son.
All right, cool. So we wanna come back to the characters, and like we've established sort of the state of things prior to the moment that we return to them. So something has changed, right? Something has changed, or some significant action is being taken. And what's your plan? I imagine, Theron, if you're not the one to do it, probably it'll be the Moff doing something ill-advised that'll involve kind of dragging all of you along. Did you have a plan? Do you have something that you were going to do? Like you're trying to lure out the rebels, right?
Yeah, we're literally just ravaging the Undercity as it is. And I just want to get the rebels out into the open, or at least make them understand that there's no place to hide down here.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, my plan is to literally just murder every alien that we've come across. Cause I give like everyone dies. Like they set us up hardcore and killed Otto. So it's like Revenge City down here. So everyone's dying.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I'm doing my own thing at the moment, whether it be advised or not.
Sure. Okay. Well, let's see how effective your leadership of your Imperial War Boys has been.
Thank you.
War Boys.
Just stormtroopers with chrome spray paint all over their face. So make a, let's have you make a leadership test. And I'll give you a boost die.
Hey, thank you.
For your preparing.
I don't want to roll anymore. last time. All right, you know what?
Fine. Okay, so if you get a success, like success on this roll will mean that your men, like it's not going to be like you'll get a message from the rebels and they'll be like, stop it, meet us here so we can deal with this. But they'll have discovered something significant that might lead you to knowing where to strike. Failure will mean.
I love that it's just. If you get a success, I don't know that success is even something I'm capable of anymore. I'm a broken man. Adam, I'm a broken man. All right, so one upgrade and roll
a boost die, not an upgrade. You can buy an upgrade if you want to use a force point.
No, I'm fine. You know what? Yeah, let's use an upgrade.
Okay.
We might as well. This is how we're going to start the show. We might as well.
Yeah,
we were using them very liberally last time, so.
Yeah, what the hell?
Throwing them around.
So, and then roll leader. Do I have any purple or red? Or
yes, So the difficulty, let's call it three.
Okay. Three perp, yo. Oh boy, here we go. Live the dream, Cox.
Oh yeah. Shit.
Oh wow.
Damn.
Oh my god.
That's a good fucking roll.
So the scene, the first scene we see, so we've got these kind of like catch up bits. Actually, I want to give, since you were only in the tank for a day, Lana, before we reel out what this crit is going to be, what this is,
yeah.
What did you do after they pulled you from the back to tank, your leg being, fixed, where do you go? What do you do? Cause you're in pretty much the only safe place for an Imperial loyalist on the planet right now.
I got dressed and probably went and took a nap.
You see, same thing. You've just been like recovering.
I didn't even bother going and finding Belsa because I think I'm still just like really, really pissed off. I'm pissed off that Otto died. I'm pissed off that Greenskin, we haven't found him yet, and that our plan pretty much just failed, and I almost died, and I know that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Lana at this point is just completely just like, I'm gonna take a nap. This is too much. I can't do this.
There's two like super bitch auras in the house.
Yeah.
And they're just like at different wings.
Yeah. Right. Like, it's so, even if they're not force sensitive, they can still feel it. They're like, they can feel the tension.
Oh, I can feel it.
So I'm just pissed.
Okay. I think you have a at some point during the, because there's a couple of weeks of these things happening. I think at some point during this time,
yeah.
You wake up in the middle of the night, cold sweat from a nightmare about being trapped in a burning building. But in this dream, you see the building, it's the bar, but you don't see the creatures that attacked you. You don't see Theron. You don't see Otto dying. You just see all this fire, and you know you're trapped, and something is keeping you here. And you see standing in the flames, you see Belsa, and she's paler than usual. You can kind of like see her veins like through her skin. Her eyes have this sort of like faint reddish glow, and despite the heat, despite all the fire, there's this like cold wind kind of like blowing around her, and yeah, and you know that kind of weird dream logic where you're like, you know you have to do a thing. Like, you know you have to get out, and there's something about Belsa that is like keeping you in the fire. And you can feel it like spread to your clothes, and she's just watching you like burn. And maybe you're like screaming or like calling her for help, and then you snap awake. And I think that we see you like jerk awake, like still like shouting like Belsa's name.
Scary. Well, obviously then my solely based on dreams and how like if people have a bad dream about someone, like my attitude towards Belsa does change over that time period, and I become really distant and don't talk.
Great for you guys are just Belsa. All about a good party environment, you know. Just we're gonna accomplish so much together.
I'm not the one who shot
this group
someone.
Of four.
I tried to save you.
Usually when someone dies the group comes together
through the window.
I tried Listen, to save you.
Yeah, obviously Otto was the moral compass of
yeah,
the group.
What the kept fuck? Everyone yeah. How is Otto the one that had it together?
You didn't. You were killing children and blowing up buildings and almost killed yourself.
You did it for the group, though.
Ben killed himself.
Listen, we don't speak ill of the dead, okay? While he was alive, we could talk all the shit we want. Okay, so I guess my only other question before I go to figure out what the triumph of Agent Talon is, are you confident that wherever he is, Theron is still making those phone calls?
Ooh, I'd say that at this point, because I mean, Lana did kind of like wake up in the sewers very briefly just to get knocked out, saw Theron there, and I think they even had like a very brief like. In a haze conversation. So I think she is sort of confident that he has shown a little more loyalty. So therefore she's gotten more trust in him. And so I would say that she does trust him at this point. It's her trust in Belsa that she's kind of questioning.
I did save her life through a fire. I'm just saying.
Well, she remembers the sewer, and you got the cure, or, you know, she heard you arguing with Belsa.
I did that too.
we'll always have the sewer.
That one.
It was a very intimate moment. It was a heart to heart in the sewers. Okay?
When you were semi rock ghoul.
With my broken leg and my
infected
blood.
I almost attacked TK or something.
And my sexy armor. Yeah, touching. Okay, so obviously it's a thing that's on your mind, but you trust Theron at least to continue holding up his end of the bargain?
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. So I think that we have that moment of you like waking up from the nightmare and breathing hard and like looking over at your comm, maybe because like, you know, you've same thing with like Belsa, you've like tried to reach out but not been able to get in touch with Theron. And we cut to, you know, we went to Theron, and you're you know, in your cantina with all these there's music playing and there's people around, and it's like it's busy. There's lots of like, you know, scary looking gangers around. All human, I presume.
There are aliens, but they're all scantily clad, sexy aliens.
Yeah, I mean, the people obviously in the bar are...
Yeah. The people in the bar, absolutely. Yes.
Sure.
Absolutely.
Okay. So we get the real slow pan, like, up the main kind of concourse with people on either side, you know, drinking, and maybe like a little fight breaks out at a Sabacc table. And we slowly pan up to the little, like, dais that you're sitting on. And we see Theron like doing the Conan like sitting in the throne thing.
Absolutely.
And that's when we realize that we're following the viewpoint of some of your gangers. So their audio lifts up and we hear like someone grunting and like there's dragging sounds. And as the camera pulls back, we can see there are two gangers. Carrying someone between them, so they're like hanging. This person says, like, sort of semi-conscious, hanging between this person, and they have a bag over their head, and they're wearing armor, but it looks like they're trailing like blood from a wound. So it's like there's this like drag mark on the floor. They're alive, but they look hurt. And the two gangers kind of like push this person to their knees in front of you. They like look up at you to see how you react.
Theron, of course, has some sort of like makeshift goblet made out of like some type of part of a ship or something, and he swirls it, and like reddish liquid, like a wine of some sort, spills out, and he's like, "What do you bring to me?" And he sort of wipes the sweat from his head. What do you bring to me?
So Charlie Sheen tightens his bandana. do they call you anything like special? Are you like Lord something other to them, or
they call me the oh God, I need a badass name. They call me
the Butcher. What's the name of this place?
Terrace.
The Butcher of Terrace.
Oh my God! Yeah, they call me Butcher.
All right. Yeah. So one of the guards eagerly like grins at you, and he says, "We found this one trying to run away after a big fight. We took out most of our men. We figured you'd like to see." And he like grabs a handful of the cloth that's like covering her head and yanks off the bag. And, you know, she looks worse for wear, but it's definitely Tala, the right hand of Greenskin. She's got like blood kind of like coming down her face from her hairline. She's obviously like been in a fight recently. And now that we know who she is, we can see she's still wearing that like stolen the stormtrooper armor. with the like rebel like symbol on it. And she sneers up at you. And that doesn't say anything. She has the look of a person who knows that she's lost, but isn't willing to let you have the satisfaction of seeing her admit it.
I like slowly rise from the chair and descend the stairs, but in a way that's almost like floating.
Right. Your many cloaks whisper on the stone as you descend. So when you stand, I think like the music keeps going and stuff, but people turn to look, they're like, oh shit.
Coins like fall on the ground and you hear like clinking of like jewels.
And I slowly make my way like down the stairs and hand my cup of whatever wine to like a random goon who's like, oh, and then I take my hand and I sort of like rub it on her bloody face.
Yeah, and she tries to pull away, and one of your goons like grabs her head and like makes her like keep looking at you.
And I like smear the blood across her face and then like get right down into her ear and I'm like, I know you. and sort of like do like a walk behind, like a slow walk behind her.
Yeah, yeah. She looks around and she says, you're an embarrassing Imperial officer and you're an even more embarrassing Hutt.
I give a laugh, and then, of course, all the other people in the room have to laugh as well. I get a mocking laugh, and everyone else is like, oh, yeah, they all start laughing, too.
Do you have your own Salacious Crumb?
I do. His name is Cheezel Wizbat, and he is a very short human that I've dressed up in a lot of fur, a lot of, like, Wookiee pelts, and I'm like
your jester.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
jester Cheezel.
Cheezel.
This is amazing.
And Cheezel's just like, ah, in the background.
Everybody else starts to laugh.
Everyone's cracking up. Yeah. And perfect. And, yeah, and I'm like, I sort of point around the room and I'm like, my men like a comedian. And everyone's like, yeah, oh, they're all like super like. Like creeping her out and stuff, you know, like gangers do.
Totally. Yeah. Trying to be tough.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. I think she looks up at you, she's like, well, whatever you're going to do, let's get it over with. I'm not telling you anything. So you might as well just blast me here and be done with it.
Theron, like sort of, like points and a spotlight comes down on her, like out of the room. I'm like,
sure.
We have spotlight. She's
down. Like she's on her knees in the like the spot right below your throne. You need a spotlight for that place.
Of course, taking advantage of this triumph, aren't you, Jesse?
It's like the 94 Bulls up in here. I got like spot like 50 spotlights. They're everywhere.
And they all just center.
Yeah.
Yeah. They all come in like, yeah. And then
a voice somewhere asks if y'all are ready for this.
Absolutely. We all get on her, and I'm like, oh, we won't kill you. There are many other things you can offer my men. And the guys are like, oh, in the background. Yeah.
You see one guy just like sharpening a knife and licking his lips.
Totally, yeah. All of these horrible people are very excited about the fact that you're also being horrible.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. And I'm like, we've never had a rebel here before. And all the guys are like, oh! and then I sort of like wipe the blood that was on her, like on my robe. And
I think you like have blood in your hands and you like look at them and Cheezel runs over and he's got like a little floppy hat and he's like, here sir, use mine, and like leans over so you can like wipe your hands on his hat.
Perfect. Absolutely. Cool. And so I slowly start to turn and walk back up to the makeshift throne I've created. And, like turn my back to her. And don't say anything to the men yet, but like they have her like pinned down to the ground.
Someone pointed out what I think is a perfect way to visualize this scene. You know how on the Muppet Show they would have one human guest and then just Muppets?
Yes.
Yes. It's like you're the human and everyone around you is just an annoying Muppet. Perfect. I think that's how Agent Talon probably sees the world too. Everybody's Muppet.
Absolutely. Yeah, they're all puppets that I'm using. Yes, absolutely. Yeah,
perfect.
So he like ascends up to his throne and he pulls out his communicator and he's like, first, there's someone who needs to have a chat with you. And I like put in a little call and then like flash forward to Lana's room and there's like a beep, 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 beep.
Yeah. So Lana, you're like, you're sitting up in bed, you look over at your comm and then it starts to beep.
Oh, I immediately grab it and yes, Dad. I just sound like just so out of it and a little pissed about the dream and also like kind of shaky. Like just sound like shit probably.
And Theron's like, not a monster, I see. Well, grab the one who is a monster and meet me down. And I like drop some coordinates and then like immediately hang up. And that's like it.
I'm about to say something and I'm like,
And then, yeah, the last thing you hear in the background is, like, the cackles of goons.
Wait, how does that go?
The cackles in the background.
Okay.
Yeah, and I, like, hang up.
I take a moment, and I just, like, I sit there, and I know the monster that he's talking about is the monster of my dream. And then I just get out of bed, and I start putting on my armor first. I grab my vibro sword or vibro blade, and then I walk down to Belsa's room.
Okay.
So on the way, if I can, I grab like a couple stormtroopers as well.
Yeah, I think that we see the scene cuts between you, like you know, swinging your legs out of bed and putting them on the floor, and then you start to stand up, and then it wipes to you and two of the stormtroopers escorting you down the hallway.
Okay.
And I think that as we follow you, right, the halls are all this kind of like matte black stone, and you're, you know, walking by the windows, you can see outside, like there's a fire in the distance. And even though it's night, it's like still quite light out because there's all this like stuff still happening. You're kind of in the middle of a period of unrest. And the stormtroopers in true stormtrooper format, they don't notice or anything, but like you can hear outside like shouting and sirens and stuff like that. You walk up to Belsa's door.
I just slam my fist on it once, and that's it. You're muted.
Yeah, Sam's muted.
I'm not. So, like, the door doesn't open. There's just, like, there's no sound from the other side.
Oh, I take a moment. And I look back at the stormtroopers. I'm like, okay, well, I knock a couple more times and I yell, the boss needs us. And then I wait.
The door like slowly opens. It like, well, the switch that is locking the door flicks green and it opens itself. And then when you guys come in, the room is like pitch black. Like the curtains are drawn even though it's daylight. And like Belsa's standing with her hands behind her back, just staring down at this desk that's covered
I'm
in.
Only happy when it.
I was gonna say the Smiths are playing.
It's covered in like comms devices.
Kind of, like look a mess and stuff.
No, I'm like pristine, but like there's like empty whiskey, space whiskey bottles, and like just like assorted comms devices on the table. And she doesn't say anything. She kind of just stands over the desk.
I just kind of, I walk in with the troopers at my back and I'm just like, we need to go. What are you doing? Still says nothing.
Yeah. That's just turns on her heels and just walks like straight past you out of the room and down the hall.
I sort of roll my eyes and I'm like, okay, well, I tell one of the troopers, let TK know where we're going. And I give them the coordinates and and I follow behind Belsa. And just watch. I just glare the whole time, like no smile, no nothing, just glare. I'm obviously very hesitant for some reason.
Adam, can I like feel Lana's hatred for me?
I mean, that's up to Pocket.
I wouldn't say it's hatred for you. I think you can feel a sort of like, maybe you can, she definitely has hatred. And you might think it's at you, but there's definitely hatred there, but it's not particularly all for you besides the nightmare, which isn't enough to like.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think that's why necessarily why Belsa would be interested, right? Like, because you have a history of being able to feel like, yeah, there's a lot of anger in Lana. And like part of the sort of relationship between a dark side force user and their underlings is that you cultivate that anger.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, I think it's still there, certainly. Like,
yeah, you can feel that I'm angry. So
yeah. I think that's what Belsa feels, as she just brushes past your shoulder. She just feels like your overwhelming anger for everything.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
So yeah, and she's just like, Lana falls silent, follows behind all of them, and yeah, I guess we make off for the coordinates with the stormtroopers.
Cool. All right. So I think that when you leave, so we see you leave the scene. We follow. There's like the diagonal like wipe, and we see a scene that is somewhere like just somewhere else. There's a kind of like dusty looking like hallway. And there's a metal, a grated catwalk. There's bits and pieces of like machinery kind of like hanging around, and it's dark, right? It's poorly lit. We get kind of bubble lighting from above, and there's like tubes hanging around and miscellaneous sort of ILM crap laying around. And we see I can't remember what the, Jesse, help me out. What are the three-eyed aliens? They're from Malastare. What are those things called?
Oh my god, I know exactly what you're talking about. Hold on. I don't remember their name. Three-eyed.
One of those guys. And he's wearing
a Gran?
A Gran, thank you. Yeah. Yeah. So we see a Gran, and he's wearing a kind of ratty looking like gray jumpsuit, like a one-piece jumpsuit. It's got some like a little name tag on it, and he's pushing pushing like a cart, and there's a broom sticking out of it and like a mop, like it's a janitorial cart. So it's just like pushing it along. And as he walks through the hallway, we can see, you know, behind or beside him, various droids in various sort of states of disrepair. And he's like kind of like whistling to himself and pushing along the cart. And somewhere behind him is like a loud like clattering sound. And he stops and kind of like starts, looks over his shoulder and grunts, keeps pushing. And then we hear it again and louder, and he like stops again. And he takes his hands off the cart and turns and like walks around a corner into the shadows. And so he's like walking through this like dark hall, and he's kind of looking around, and he calls out in whatever their language is, Malastese, but you know, he's like, is anybody there? And the video, the feed that we see, our image switches to a like a powering up screen. So we see just like black with like red lettering kind of like running along the sides. We can see diagnostic information start to turn on. And then finally we see the kind of boot up logo, which is the like Imperial gear kind of like unfolds on the screen, blinks a couple of times, and then it flickers so we can see the hallway. And we can see this like Gran walk by through the viewpoint, totally unaware that he's being watched. And a little like red targeting triangle appears on him, and we see like alien insurgent appear like blinking underneath, and then some like mission parameter information appears, and then it says destroy target. And the Gran janitor, the Granitor, keeps like walking by, like looking for the noise. We hear a kind of like rolling metallic sound behind him, and he turns, and we see him still in the viewpoint of the whatever it is that has activated in this droid factory. What do we see? I'll let you describe it, JP. What do we see when we switch out of your point of view to the point of view of the alien that now needs to be exterminated?
I'm muted on that one. I think if If you see, if you said rolling, so I think you just see a black sphere on the ground coming at this guy really, really quickly. And maybe in like flashes, you see the Imperial gear in red on the black sphere as it's rolling towards him. And it basically just like trips the guy up. It just like runs straight for his legs and just trips him up.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So you do you roll past him or are you like rolling right over him? Because you can
I'm just rolling like straight through him.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So he we see him shriek in fear. Like, he's like, ah, and like this huge black metal sphere just crushes him like a boulder and just like rolls past and off into the distance and like out of the somewhere out of the factory. And there's this like rattling sound that gets quieter and quieter. And this like crushed alien, we see he like reaches up with like a bloody hand and he's and then he goes limp and dies. And yeah, this ball of death has just like awakened and rolled out into the city of Terrace. So there we go.
Jesse, what are these thoughts you're feeling right now before we cut the break? Give a little insight.
I am so excited to be evil. It has never been a better time to be evil.
Okay.
Dying was the best thing that's ever happened.
Great. Let's take our break. We'll find out more about ZN-Z1 after this, as well as the Swoop Gang and what's going on with Lana and Belsa, because the show's... Lightside might do well, but we fucking do crazy real well. So that's all that matters. That's all that matters. Let's, we'll just take this quick break. We'll be right back with more Star Wars Bounce Power. Jesus Christ. All right, we'll see you guys in just a sec.